Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah. And this week we're talking about yoga for non-specific back pain. So the sort of back pain that you might not sort of have a reason for, even if you've inquired about it through your local doctor, and there's no real reason for it. And there's really many reasons for it, but it's not really attributed to any physical problem as such.
So include, would you say it's not not an acute thing, so not caused by an injury or a specific moment where you know you've done something? Or
Sometimes it can be. It can be acute. You could have non-specific acute back pain, and you could, you know, you could have chronic non-specific back pain if it goes on for a long time. And I suppose it's there's many factors involved in that, and all the sorts of things, you know, whether you sit too much, whether there's a lot of stress in your life. Stress will certainly, you know, contribute to any imbalance. It's sort of like an imbalance on many levels of your being, isn't it?
So by cause, you mean you go to the doctor and they're not like, oh, well, you know, we can see that you have inflammation on this vertebrae. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no specific.
It's like, we can't find anything wrong with it.
And I think there's societal pressure has or societal conditioning has would have us believe that, oh gosh, you've got a back injury, you better stop moving, you know, very much so that you think, oh, I better protect my back. And so then you go into protective mode and start moving differently. There's a lot of fear around back pain.
I saw a thing, I can't remember who it was, I should have saved it, but it was someone is sort of a health professional talking about, oh, if you sprain your ankle, you don't then expect to never use your ankle again for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
You know, you take 6 weeks for it, you give it, you know, whatever it needs for 6 weeks to recover, and then you're back to normal. Whereas with back pain, we tend to sort of go, oh, once your back's screwed, that's it.
That's it.
Don't use it, you'll make it worse, you know.
And yet we have the most resilient, you know, we have the stronger spines and muscular structure that the body's always reorganizing back for its maximum health if we give it some help. And the best help we can give it really is movement. And so, you know, I think people become scared to move. So with some recent study I'm doing, the latest guidelines in Britain for doctors prescribing helping people who present with back pain is not to do any more imaging and no more scanning, no more x-rays on the lower back, lumbar region, because they come up with terms like, oh, you've got degenerative disc condition, and that just freaks people out because as you age, all sorts of things could be labelled degenerative because we're ageing. Doesn't mean that you can't use it anymore, but it causes so much fear in people that they then go into protection mode and think they can't move, can't lift, can't squat, can't kneel, and then it does get worse because lack of use.
Yeah, beginning of a downward run of losing strength and condition.
Yeah.
And so the problems, which makes it harder to strengthen and condition and so
on. It does.
Yeah.
And so it's a good analogy that the ankle and the back, because you know, our back's supported very nicely by a group of core support muscles and a structure that will support us. And so instead of having specific sort of targeting in on single, like for example, oh, you've got non-specific back pain, let's strengthen your core, sort of like gone right away from that sort of approach to more getting people to start moving freely and get some flow and movement back into them instead of sort of trying to undo those protective behaviors and encouraging people to sort of move with more freedom, simple movements, so they rediscover their body and how it can move, and they begin to realize, oh, actually I can do more than I thought, because that's often the case. We can actually move in more ways than what we knew.
And I think especially with joints, like safe movement encourages blood flow to the area and sort of gets a lot more nutrition into those parts that maybe need repairing.
Yeah, and frees it up. It's like, you know, then there's also this whole, you know, very much a focus. The free-flowing movements really help all the fascia, all that connective tissue. So it's like, let's free that up, because that's a global network that is that can form its own holding patterns if you have been protecting an area of your body. And once those patterns are formed, if you're not prepared to move and stretch and try and bring in some new ways of moving, they can then inhibit you and create more problems by holding you in protective ways. So gentle moving, getting people familiar with their body, getting a good sense of proprioception with where your body is in space, reconnecting you into your body and trusting it. It's like, let's trust that we actually have this innate intelligence that will support us if we give it the opportunity.
It's, yeah, it's a, the proprioception I think is so important, and also interoception.
Yes. That
ability to be able to pay attention to what your body is doing at all moments, but especially if you're doing something like you are lifting something, you know, a box or whatever, that you're tuned into your body and paying attention, so it gives you feedback in real time as to whether what you're doing right now is okay or whether you need to adjust. And if you're paying attention to that, you can preempt any movement that might be awkward or uncomfortable or cause a strain or anything like that, and adjust for it. Usually it's just a matter of, okay, we've got to reposition the weight, or I've got to change my stance, or I've got to engage my core better, or, you know, whatever it is to make it safer for you. But not that you shouldn't do it. I don't like this idea that, oh no, well, you know, I can't lift anything. It's not safe. And you know, I think strengthening is so important.
Yeah. And getting to know your body more. So the more movement you can do, the more freestyle movement, the more you can be encouraged to move and then begin to realize, oh, actually I can move in a variety of ways that don't cause me pain. And get that trust back. And the constant movement in a program, say, of addressing non-specific back pain, would sort of guide you through a series of movements that flow from one to the next, so that even if you do touch on an area that's a little bit twitchy, you're not staying there. You're not staying there and sitting in that pain and it's gone again. And so you're getting a good sense of flow and movement, and these flowing movements then start to engage the fascia and create more inner space. And that's that interoception that you're talking about. Have a sense of what's going on inside, and what does it feel like under your skin, and what does it feel like when you sort of start moving different joints in different ways, having, you know, in a curious mind, I suppose, because we can get very closed-minded when we shut down in pain, because pain shuts you down, and your mind closes and your language becomes negative. So it's like starting to open up, get the whole body moving as a whole, make it more fun and free, and get out of the stuck mindset, because it's very much a mindset that can affect your physical body as well.
We definitely don't encourage enough free movement as adults, I think. You know, it's like everything is so structured, and even a yoga class for most people is so structured and rigid almost. Not that, like, you might be moving, it might be a flowing pose or something, but the you're so focused on moving correctly, moving where the alignment points say to go, where your teacher is going, even though they have a completely different body to you. And we don't ever allow ourselves as adults to just play with our bodies. Like, so you don't ever see adults just running around at the park or walking or moving weird. Like, kids do all sorts of weird movement
and
wacky shapes and stuff with their bodies, and they just sort of fling their arms around and stuff. And adults just never do that.
Never do that.
You sort of, you sit at your desk all day, or you stand at your job all day, or you're in your delivery vehicle, or you're at your workstation, or whatever it is that you do, you know. And even if you're in a job where you do have some physical engagement and some lifting and that kind of stuff, it just easily becomes very rigid and repetitive. And just, you know, why are you so much more susceptible to repetitive strains?
It is.
And things becoming tight and sore and chronically painful over time. And and I think we just don't ever often allow ourselves to just be in our bodies and relax. And even, you know, like adults going to dance classes or you know, gym classes or something, like, no, you can go to the gym to do fitness.
Yes.
Which is also very rigid. To do aerobics classes, which is also very rigid to do, you know, it's like, but when I say gym, I mean, you know, like kinder gym kind of thing, where you're tumbling about on mats and doing somersaults and
And I think
stuff
we've
that
mentioned
kids are just allowed to do and adults are not.
And I think we've mentioned this before, when you see the really great kids' playgrounds for little kids, mainly even older kids are excluded from some of this
stuff.
Yeah,
they are.
And so then next to it you see that horrible, revolting adult gym equipment. That's supposed to be good for us, that we go and move our legs in a certain way or do some pull-ups, and it's like,
they're utterly useless. If you do workouts and weightlifting and stuff like that, those things are worse than body weight.
Oh, they're shocking.
And if you don't do anything whatsoever, it's because you don't like that kind of exercise.
Yeah.
And so they're just entirely pointless. Like, as an adult, I would rather just have some free bars, like tall monkey bars, that you can swing off and climb on, and than those things. But I think and that just plays into that idea of an adult is not allowed to be doing something if it isn't structured and for a purpose.
See, even that structured and purpose, all that language is so restrictive and tight. It's like it's tightening. Like when you say those words, your body tightens even.
Yeah.
No?
It's like you don't go to the gym to have fun. You go to the gym to do a workout because you have to, because it's good for you.
Mm.
It's like it's, you know, if you – yes, body weight or weight workout, any kind of weight-bearing workout is important. You know, you've got to use your body. You've got to use it for strengthening and lengthening purposes, because it's meant to do both. But that doesn't mean you have to go to the gym and do weightlifting. It doesn't mean you have to stay at home and do push-ups. It doesn't mean you know, there's lots of ways of using your body and all sorts of sort of purposes. And it doesn't, I think it's, you know, adults are just not allowed to have fun and not allowed to be bad at something. And
so this program,
this is a bit of a departure from your back care
discussion. It sort of isn't. It's very much aligned, because I was just about to say this new back care that Drew have just refreshed and are getting out into the world is very much free-flowing, simple movements for you to rediscover your body and free it up. And there's no structure. So in this, say you came to a back care class of mine for an hour and a quarter, I'm not going to go around and align you. There's no alignment points. It's very much about, now, what would it feel like to move like this, and free-flowing movement and some amusement and some fun activations shaky dancing and, you know, just move in whatever way. And even when we get on the floor and do a little bit of CAD, it's like, it's not just you on all fours, alignment points, and then start arching and flexing and extending. It's more about, what does it feel like to be a playful cat, and what have you moved around and moved your weight around into different areas and leaned back and leaned forward. So it's very it's very unstructured in that respect. There's a set sort of structure to the program, but it flows, it's free flowing. You can't do it wrong. It's no right or wrong to it. It's to get you moving, it's to get you back into your body. Is to get you curious and open-minded as you move. And so then that can sometimes allow, you know, the layers of pain to gently peel away without you knowing it, because you're loosening up and you're taking your mind off that restrictive language, and you're opening up your mind to curiosity and fun. And it's like respecting the innate body wisdom that we have, and that, you know, you are the expert of your body, and to trust and to play and have fun and move in different ways. So it's very aligned with what you were saying about adult play. It's perfect, perfect to come into this discussion, because we just don't do enough of it. And we need to trust ourselves, and we need to, you know, in that, having said that, we need to self-regulate and notice. So when we're doing that and playing, you'll soon notice, oh, hang on, that's a bit much, I'll just pull back a bit. Doesn't mean you don't do it. You just regulate yourself.
Yeah, you know? I think that's the important part as well. Like, don't let pain or fear, which are often connected, shut you down. And I often wonder, like, what would happen if you took a bunch of adults into a room where there's a whole heap of play mats and, you know, just space, tunnels to crawl through and
tunnels,
frames to climb on and stuff like that, and said, right, off you go, run around for half an hour. A kid would have no trouble doing that.
Yeah.
And an adult would probably just stand there going, well, I don't know what to do.
Exactly. A part of this program, we get on our back, and, you know, you might hug your knees to your chest, and then you just might start rolling around. And how do you want to move on your back? Like, you know, do you want to just start sort of cycling your legs in the air, or do you want to bring your arms and legs up in the air like a fly, you know, has been, you know, given a spray. And you're just shaking your legs and arms up in the air. So it's like, encourage you to move and play and explore your body.
Yeah.
as you never get the chance to anywhere else, because I don't think too many people on their lounge room floor get down on the floor and roll around either.
I mean, I don't, because the dog has his dog head in the middle of it and it's covered in fur. But
it's all of that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's I mean I don't know where you sort of, I think a lot of it comes down to school, and you're stuck in a classroom at age six, and well, younger now, I believe, and you know, you're sitting at a desk and head down doing work, and if you're not doing that, you're not being productive, and so we sort of, it just feeds into this fear.
There's those horrible words again, productive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So can you have an exercise, you know, sort of practice? And it's practice, not performance. That is just for you to have fun and enjoy being in your body. Like it's sort of, if your exercise regime, which is another interesting choice.
Oh, there's a horrible word, regime.
Is not making, like, if you're enjoying it, go for it. You know, if you go for a run religiously at 5 o'clock every morning and you love doing that, then that's fantastic. But if you don't, and you're only doing it out of a sense of duty or because you have to, because someone told you that's what's healthy for you, see if you can find another way that is a bit freer and
freer,
that changes things for you.
Yeah, remain curious and, like, cultivate this sense of empowered wellness, because it's in your control. Your wellness is in your control, and it's about empowering you to take that back.
Yeah.
Be curious, open your mind, have fun, play. That's the word, fun and play.
That is. So unfortunately, there's not more spaces where we can freely do that.
We need some help to get some adult playgrounds going.
Proper adult playgrounds. And then not adult playgrounds where kids are also allowed to be on it, because it's just dangerous.
Yes, no.
Yeah. I know there are playgrounds where they're sort of meant to be all ages, and that's great if you've got your own children and you're playing with them. It's a bit awkward if you're a random adult.
Yeah.
It's a bit inappropriate. But anyway.
Or you want to go with your 30-plus-year-old kids.
Yes, why not? We will leave it there. We are out of time, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.